Coming up this week on the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast, Universal Studios announces a purge for Halloween Horror Nights. Knott's Berry Farm announces a chance to camp out and ride coasters for charity. A judge rules against SeaWorld in a class action lawsuit. And a longtime Club 33 member will not be returning after a lawsuit is filed. Plus, unloosing your belts, we're going to take a look at the 7 must-try foods at this year's Orange County Fair. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast for the week of July 16th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, C-A-R-R-I-S, on Facebook, or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Karis-Milano. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. We are a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from Universal Studios Hollywood, Knott's Berry Farm, the Disneyland Resort, and beyond. All brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of Vacationland. And this week, I am joined by YouTube sensation and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello again, Brandis.
Hello.
Alternate John and contributor, John Strautman. Hi, John.
Hello.
Welcome back. Owner of Dr. Skipper's Jungle Hut, author of Skipper Stories, and our resident historian, Dr. David Marley. Welcome back, David.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back. And from our vlog series, it's Karen Fan. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
All right. So let's get into the discussion, guys. How is everyone doing? It's been a couple weeks since we've seen each other. Couple things that I do want to bring up this week. One of them is that anybody been to Trader Sam's Tiki Bar at the Disneyland Hotel? They have tiki mugs back in stock. It's actually all very exciting. So for a while, so they sell these tiki mugs like a good tiki bar does. And
I want the piranha one.
I feel like we should preface this by just saying they had them in stock.
No. So
they may not have them anymore.
So they did as of yesterday. So we're recording this on Sunday. And as of yesterday, they did have the tiki mugs back in stock. And I've got all of the information here for you guys.
Well, I say this because, 2 weeks ago we were there when they were back in stock, and they had only been in stock for a day. When we went the next evening, they were already sold out.
I saw they were posting photographs. They had boxes of them.
So tiki mugs are back in stock at Trader Sam's. They have new editions of the Aoa, the Piranha Pool, and the Shipwreck on the Rocks. You can buy just the mug. However, and here's the thing. So they've actually finally accepted the fact that some people just want to go in there for the mugs. They're still going to charge you for the drink no matter what. Like, you can't just go in there and like, here, I want to use my annual pass discount on the mug. They're like, no.
How weird, Disney would charge you full price.
Right? That they would not accommodate. Shocking. They would not accommodate you.
I can't think of the name of that restaurant, the Jungle Restaurant.
Rainforest Cafe.
Thank you. Oh, Cafe. Didn't they do that with their hurricane glasses as well?
They did. Yeah, they did. But theirs were much less nice. These are actually nice mugs.
I think I have like 6 of those mugs because I'm like, if I'm getting the drink, might as well get the mug. Right,
but I think they sold you you got the mug whether you wanted it or not. People are just going in for the mug. And so you can do a non-alcoholic or an alcoholic drink. They just charge you the same. Or you can just buy your mug and walk away, but they're going to charge you for the
drink. They do that with very expensive.
Yeah.
They do that at the Hogshead too with the collectible mugs at Universal Studios.
So in case anybody's curious, right now, as of the recording of this show, this was Saturday that we're recording this on Sunday, the 15th. So it's a $37 for a Shipwreck on the Rocks mug, which is a barrel with the Trader Sam's logo on the front. It's $37 for a Piranha Pool, which is actually very cool. It's the piranha shaped mug. And if you go on our Instagram at VL Podcast, we have pictures of all of these. And then it's $58 for the Aoa. It's a big ceramic bowl, and they put all the booze in there, and they light the sugar cubes on fire and throw. And you go,
when you say a very big bowl, how big are we talking price tag?
It's big for Disney. It's probably about 4 inches, 3 inches across. And
oh, wow!
But the new design is cool because the old one was just kind of a generic tiki design. This one has the tiki drummers from the Enchanted Tiki Room on the side. So that is my no discounts apply because it's a boozy drink and they're not just going to sell you the mug because they can. So it does seem like they have enough in stock. You know, who's dragging stuff on the table?
I was just capping my thing.
That's okay. But so they just like Karen is right. The last time we went, they didn't seem to have enough in stock, and this time I think they have. David said there's like boxes of them, and I think they finally kind of they know that people are out here to buy the mugs. Yeah, they seem to actually have listened.
A plethora of them this time.
So they had a mild version of Build-A-Bear going on.
Oh God! Did anybody see that?
Oh, it was awesome.
Build-A-Bear your own age or pay your own age.
Yes, I knew when that email first went out that I was not going to partake because it would be pandemonium, and I'm so glad I was smart enough not to
get it. Build-A-Bear pandemonium. That was good.
They closed the lines like super early too, right? Because like people were getting there at like 10 or something, and they were like, "We're so sorry, we're closed."
If I would have done it, and they're open at 10, I would have shown up at 7:30 and stood in line.
Yeah, there were people that were waiting at like 9.5 hours for a
Build-A-Bear?
For a Build-A-Bear.
Well, do you not know how expensive those are?
Okay, so the last time I built a bear was like a decade ago, and they weren't that expensive. So have they gone up considerably?
Yeah, bear inflation.
Okay.
And it's the clothes are also expensive.
Bearflation. It's a bear market.
Yeah. Our son was given a Build-A-Bear by his great-grandparents when he was 6 months old, and they fix it anytime there's something wrong with it. Uh-huh. He's now 11. We go in there, and they sew it up. They restuff it. They replaced its voice box.
Okay, so I gotta admit something. Over the weekend, while this was going on, we went to see my wife and I went to SeaWorld, and we had a great time. And at SeaWorld, in one of the shops towards the back, they've got kind of this ripoff Build-A-Bear location. It's not a Build-A-Bear location, but they have the machine.
Probably better than Build-A-Bow.
And they have, oh God. But they have the machine where you can like pick an animal and like stuff the animal and buy all the little outfits. Anyways, so they have a Build-A-Bear sized SeaWorld. Now we have this little, it's called a Domo, and we take it around with us, and we take pictures of it. It's kind of like our traveling, like, Amelie gnome.
Oh, you have your own, like, Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes. Domo stole my hashtag.
Domo on the go, yeah.
Domo stole my hashtag. Stop rubbing it in, David.
So we're crazy. So it has its own outfits, and it has its own accessories. Anyways, we found a Domo-sized SeaWorld sweatshirt. During the course of the day. And so when we walked up to buy this silly little small sweatshirt, the girl realized, okay, so where's your bear? And we're like, we're not buying a bear. And she was very confused as to why we were not buying a bear. Like, she's like, but it comes, you have to buy the bear to wear the outfit. We're like, we don't want the bear, just sell us the damn sweatshirt. And so she was very, very confused about what was going on.
But why didn't you just pull Domo out and be like, confused. This is our bear.
That's quality training in that employee right there.
The SeaWorld was an interesting experience. We had gone, we bought annual passes because they were almost giving them away.
It's okay. I'll still be friends with you.
I know. I know Brandy's. Yeah. Which I was like, Brandy's is not going to be happy that we bought SeaWorld houses. That was my first thought when we did that. But
you did it anyway.
You can. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing about SeaWorld. It's like, I don't think SeaWorld knows what it wants to be anymore. They've got these weird coasters and weird places, and then they still have the animal exhibits, and they still have, you know, these things of like these remnants of old SeaWorld, but you can tell where they've been hurting lately. You can tell where they've been cutting money from the budget, because everything that you do is either like has not been maintained, or it's like been really like, there's one location where we went to the shark encounter where like the roof had clearly like plaster had caved in, and they were
maybe it was made to look like a ruin.
Yeah, no.
It was all themed.
No, it was literally a ruin.
But and then everything, literally everything, all of the quick service cart locations were self-service. It was weird. You had to like get your own popcorn and get your own churro and get your own.
I don't see how getting my own popcorn is a bad thing.
But it was just weird. Like nobody had, there was no.
I could just stuff all the popcorn in the bucket.
I thought you were going to say stuff it in the bear.
Well, I mean, they only give you like the bag. Thank you. It's a pop. That would get very messy. David, you wanted to say something.
Oh, I don't know if I told you this. Edit this out if I did. about my friend who had done work for SeaWorld in Florida.
No,
you talking about that?
No.
So I was in Florida a year ago, and there's a guy that does kind of quasi non-Disney Imagineering, and he's worked for a couple companies, but he'd been working for SeaWorld, and I asked him what it was like, and he said, "Oh, that company's not going to be around long."
Yeah.
He said because they He goes, we try to push them into their niche of do animal encounters and do that experience. You're not doing the orca shows anymore, but you can do other cool things and teach people. They want to go for roller coasters and make it more like Orlando, like Universal Studios and Disney World, yet they don't have the budget or the ability. So he said they're going to be a fourth-rate park that nobody wants to visit because they're afraid to do animal stuff.
And
they're afraid of blackfin.
We didn't not blackfish. Have a good time. Yeah, that whole blackfish thing is another story, but we did not have a good time. We had a great time. We had such a good time. We bought annual passes for like, I don't know, $30 each. It was just, you know, whatever the cost of the pass was minus your ticket. But it was just weird to go in there because they don't know what they want to be. It's just these coasters in weird places and weird like Sesame Street characters. And we've done stories on the Sesame Street characters before, but
do they have alcohol?
They do have alcohol, and it does help.
They don't.
Did alcohol?
They have Anheuser-Busch.
That's true.
Did alcohol help you decide that you had a great time?
It was certainly.
And by those annual passes.
It was certainly a factor. I will say this. It didn't hurt the decision to buy the annual passes.
For those of you out there, when Chris has a bit too much to drink, he will buy almost anything.
I will buy almost anything. As evidenced yesterday when I spent $102 on tiki mugs.
Many tiki mugs?
Two tiki mugs.
Two.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. We're going to talk about, we'll get back to the SeaWorld discussion later because we have a story about that. I just wanted to mention that the whole sweatshirt thing. Anyways, final thing for our first opening segment here is you guys went to go try, speaking of Tajin and Chamoy, Brandy and John. And so before you went to the fair and got hypnotized, you went to Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes.
To go sample some of the things that we talked about on our last episode.
Well, just sample one thing.
Oh, was it just one?
Looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Tasty. No, it was really delicious, but it was extremely salty. So do not go buy it if you think it's going to be refreshing. It's going to be delicious, but not refreshing. I needed a lot of water after I finished it.
It was really warm yesterday, and so, yeah.
So, was it like the Knott's version of like a salt lick? Because, you know, in Asia, during the summer, they will sell salt lollipops. So, they look like a popsicle, except it's salt water. And it's just plain salt water, and that's supposed to help
that's
you
hydrate electrolytes,
and keep cool.
No, it was just tahine and chamoy, and both of those are salty.
So if you go to the Grand Canyon in the summer months, there are signs everywhere reminding you to eat salt. Like, keep salty snacks because the hotter you get, the more you sweat, and so the salt helps you retain some of that water. It seems bizarre and it seems like the opposite of what you would want to do, but
it's electrolytes.
Yeah.
That's like when you do long distance running, you're supposed to eat salty foods and bananas.
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that will do it for our opening segment. It's time to move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
All right, so this is Park Hopping, our new segment, and kicking us off today is Brandis with a story of the first purge coming to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Okay, Universal Studios Hollywood welcomes the first purge to Halloween Horror Nights, inspired by Universal Pictures' blockbuster thriller.
Tonight allows people a release. for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the first purge.
Our neighborhood is under siege.
At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours.
There's a lot of good people out there who we're gonna have to protect.
All emergency services will be suspended.
We gotta be prepared for anything.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
Just remember all the good the Purge does.
This year, Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios bears witness to the first Purge with an all-new maze based on Universal Pictures' all-new thriller that unleashed the country's inaugural government-sanctioned lawlessness, making all crime legal once a year for 12 hours. Inspired by the first Purge, the movement that began as a simple experiment, this terrifying new Halloween Horror Nights maze aligns with the film in establishing the motives that launched the country into chaos. Murder, mayhem, and pandemonium are alive and well every year as the annual purge grips the country, suspending all police, fire, and emergency services for 12 consecutive hours as law-abiding citizens are transformed into anarchists. The first purge maze will reimagine the movie's premise, greeting guests with pure unadulterated fear as it brings to life the turmoil spawned by vigilantes. It will place guests at the heart of the controversial sociological experiment empowered by the new founding fathers of America's NFFA desire to purge the nation of all hatred and crime by ironically permitting crime to take place as a means of ridding society of all ills. Guests will be at the mercy of luck and speed as they attempt to outsmart and outlive the anarchy. Halloween Horror Nights begins on Friday, September 14, 2018. The first Purge is now in theaters. The Purge TV series, based on the wildly popular franchise, will debut on USA Networks on September 4, 2018. Updates on Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood are available online at thevacationlandpodcast.com.
So, yeah, this is up on our website. There's a description of the new maze. This sort of stuff is starting to trickle in. I think the last time we talked about Halloween Horror Nights, we don't have any huge horror fans in the room. David, are you a big horror fan?
I kind of enjoy them. Yeah, I watched the new version of It last night.
Okay.
Oh, for my daughter's birthday. That's what she wanted to watch.
It's not good.
It was kind of boring, but I really liked it.
Have you seen any of the Purge movies?
No.
Here's
I saw one. Okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I say this with shame.
Because so you want to partake? Or?
I do. Actually, honestly, like the whole time when I heard about this, the whole thing running through my brain was, oh my God, can I be one of the vigilantes? I mean, like, are we allowed to go in and pick? Like, instead of just, you know, like, are we allowed to fight back?
You can be whatever you want. It's peace through anarchy.
I heard a funny thing about the
Purge the other day. It's like nobody talks about the awkwardness of like what happens the day after. Like, hey, what happened to Bob from sales? Oh, yeah, he's not coming back anymore because I killed him. Like, so that's the one thing. Also, the Purge makes me incredibly uncomfortable because I think we're about 5 minutes away from this happening in real life in this country right now.
So
I don't enjoy watching things that I think could actually happen.
So what
that's
would you
funny
do?
Because that's what I enjoy about scary movies. Yeah. Is I like the alien movies because you don't know. Maybe aliens can come and kill us. And,
well, that's what Stephen Hawking said.
And that's what I like ghost movies because you don't know. What if there are spirits? I love Paranormal Activity. The Conjuring. Those are the ones I enjoy.
So, John, you want to say something?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
But it was clever and totally funny.
I apologize. Karen, so you like the movies. You would be a willing participant, we now know, with Karen, if this happened in real life. But does this make you want to go? So for me, the Stranger Things maze really makes me want to go to Halloween Horror Nights. Does this make you want to go to Halloween Horror Nights?
Actually, so I do not understand these things because I don't like being paid to be scared. And I also, like I said before we started recording this, I don't understand the fare because I don't understand why I'm paying to go in to have the privilege of paying for a bunch of other stuff.
Amen.
But in this case, I still don't think I would go, but the new Purge maze makes me seriously consider thinking about going.
It makes you consider thinking?
It would. So normally I'd just be like, no, I'm not going, right? Because I don't understand it. I'm just paying to, and I don't want to do any of the mazes, and I don't want to be scared or anything like that. But I would be, I would consider, like, you know, I would say, oh, well, how much does this ticket cost? You know, would I do this? Would I do anything else in here, you know, that would justify me paying X amount of money to go in?
It's pretty much just you getting scared out of your mind, which I think now I kind of want to see.
Wait, so have you been, have you been to Halloween Horror Nights?
I have, yeah.
So is it scarier than Not Scary Farm?
Is it really?
It is. It is scarier than Not Scary
Farm. Because when I read these things, it doesn't seem scary to me, and that's why I love Not Scary Farm.
It's different. It's different than Not Scary Farm, but I think it's scarier because they just go a little bit edgier. And it's a little bit smarter, I think, than Not Scary Farm.
That was my question. In what way?
Yeah.
One of my dreams is to I want to work for the Not Scary Farm. I'm at audition this year.
I was just going to say they're holding auditions for that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should go do it.
Right this minute. Go. No.
All right.
One of our listeners is my friend who I wanted to bring in one of these days. He was actually a Halloween monster for several of the big Halloween events. So he did Dark Harbor and he did Knott's Berry Farm. And so if you're out there listening, give me a call around Halloween time. We'll bring you on. But yeah, I think Halloween Horror Nights is just a little bit more edgy. It's just a little bit smarter. It's a little bit more intense. Then you get to go to the back lot and you get to, when The Walking Dead was real big, which is when we went, they had this whole thing where they take you on to the back lot. Then they just, the tram broke down and then you get to walk through the back lot of Universal Studios. So that's,
if I punch somebody in fear,
I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah, you get kicked out.
But I'll double check on it.
Then you really wasted your money.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if that instinct just kicks in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's not like I'm trying to punch them.
I don't think you have the instinct to punch people.
Yeah. So Karen wants to punch people and be part of the purge. All right. Things we learned today.
Can I add one more thing about you're going to edit this?
Yeah.
Whatever you want. I went to the Not Scary Farm, but it was about 6 months after I'd moved back to California after living for 5 years in Washington, D.C., where I spent all my time trying not to get mugged, where most of my friends had been mugged at some point. And so I spent my time just looking at I caught every single one. They would come up to me. I'm like, nope. And I would point to my wife and they would scare the hell out of her.
I went to college and...
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our nation's capital right there.
Yeah. Well, I also went to school in South Central Los Angeles.
They're mugging us anyway.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I went to school in South Central LA, so I spent a lot of time just not making eye contact and making sure that people didn't walk up behind me. So
You look in corners and things, and yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, David. What's going on at SeaWorld?
Oh, yeah. I read it and everything.
The ocean. We live for it. We fight for it. All of us. Together. SeaWorld. See it here. Save it there. From park to planet.
130,000 SeaWorld customers could get refunds of $11.5 million in a lawsuit. Up to 130,000 people who purchased annual passes from SeaWorld theme parks in Florida, Texas, Virginia, and California could get a refund on a proposed $11.5 million settlement from a class action lawsuit, according to recently filed court documents. Orange County, Florida man and three others sued SeaWorld Entertainment for automatically renewing their annual passes without their permission and then not refunding them for the extra months that they had paid.
Man, they cannot catch a break, man.
There's
another lawsuit that we'll talk about on our next show that just got filed, I think, last week, Monday or Tuesday of last week.
I almost feel bad for them.
Well, this is the kind of thing a company does when they're really desperate for money. They think they can keep charging you and you're just not going to notice. And it's just a couple of bucks. It's somebody way up in management who's not going to be held accountable who does something like this. Anyway, so they were charging people for months that they weren't using them and then not... where was it? The court ruled that SeaWorld violated a law designed to protect consumers who spent money electronically. The customers paid the installments for their passes in less than a year. Using the Easy Pay system, SeaWorld, which is based in Orlando, unsuccessfully appealed, which is also really bad. One of the residents from Florida who sued bought annual passes to SeaWorld Orlando and Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida. According to the lawsuit, Herman, the man, paid $35 for an initial payment in March. of 2013 and then was charged 11 monthly payments of $35. The pass was paid off in February 2014, but SeaWorld kept charging Herman's credit card until September 2014.
Yikes!
The theme park company would not reimburse him for the additional payments when he asked in October 2014 for a refund. Those who purchased their annual passes from specific dates could be eligible for the settlement. Time periods are, this is important, time periods to get the refund are between December 3rd, 2008 to December 3rd, 2014 for Florida, Virginia, and December 3rd, 2009 to December 3rd, 2014 for California and Texas.
Yeah, so this is really bad. This is not
It's a sketchy way to good. Make money.
Yeah. So let's first of all, have you guys heard anything about the fact that Knott's Berry Farm annual passes are changing?
Yes. Yes.
What have you heard? Because I read a lot of stuff. I read a lot of stuff on Facebook. So what have you guys heard?
Well, probably the same stuff you heard. I haven't heard from Knott's Berry Farm because nothing's on their website. Passes are still good right now.
Yeah.
So I heard that they're going from
season passes to annual passes.
Yes.
What is the difference?
So the difference is no matter when you buy your Knott's Pass, it is good from January 1st to December 31st. They're switching it so it's good for a year from purchase date to purchase date.
Wait, so if you bought your pass, your season pass in like November, it would only
get it till December 31st.
They don't sell it. No, if you buy it in November, it's good for the next year. So at a certain point, they cut off when you could buy it.
Because I was like, do they prorate it? Or at a certain point they just say no more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, we're not selling passes currently.
So like right now, or normally right now, you could buy a pass because there's still enough months left.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't allow the payment plan. But what we're reading online is that people went to go buy the pass and they're saying we're not selling the pass because we're going to be switching to the season pass.
But I'm still wondering about the financial portion. So was it prorated or are you all just paying the same price?
Same price, yeah, no matter when you buy it.
So they're going to switch to an annual pass program. So this is all to say that these people were buying annual passes for SeaWorld and it was the season pass model. You know, no matter when you bought it, Brandis has talked about this before, like looking forward to having your annual passes paid off. It ended at a certain point, and I'm going to guess that there was nothing in the contract because when you buy an annual pass to Disneyland, it is clearly stated in there that your pass ends there and they send you reminders like renew your pass. My pass expired this year. So I had to go back. Like I got to the ticket window at the parking structure and they're like, yeah, your pass is expired. I had to go to guest services and give them my credit card again to renew my annual pass. And so this is all to say that this is really, like David said, this is kind of an odd way of making money. And I think they were kind of hoping that people notice because clearly there was nothing in their contract. There was nothing specifically stated that said, listen, you're going to get renewed after all these months. So I don't blame these guys at all. I blame SeaWorld almost 100% for this because they didn't. I'm going to guess that there wasn't anything in the language of the contract that they signed. Actually, I don't even remember signing a contract. I think they just handed us our passes because we paid for them. This is not good. Like John said, that you know they just can't catch a break. And again, there's another lawsuit that's being filed recently. I did want to talk a little bit about again my time at SeaWorld, which was. We had a good time. We had fun. The Orca Killer Whale show is not the big splashy, flashy, Shamu show that you probably remember growing up. It's a very much more an educational experience, but I think SeaWorld is in a lot of trouble if they don't figure it out soon. So much maintenance, so many maintenance issues, just the things that looked old, things that looked tired, things that looked like they hadn't been painted. And they're really trying. And their customer service, if you go in there expecting like, we go to Disney, even Knott's and Universal Studios, and you expect a certain level of customer service. There was none of that.
Really?
Maybe with the exception of one or two people, I think a lot of the employees there looked like they were being held at gunpoint to work there. And so,
it's expensive.
Yeah, so, you know, the food was really good. They ripped out the Anheuser-Busch stuff because Anheuser-Busch isn't sponsoring. This is all owned by a company called SeaWorld Entertainment. The SeaWorld here in California and San Diego is actually owned by the city of San Diego. Did you know that?
They own that? Mm-hmm.
They own
that. That explains so much.
They own the land that the park sits on.
Yeah.
The SeaWorld Entertainment, the company, owns the park, mm-hmm. but in the, when they created that land, they actually designated that land, it has to be an aquatic park no matter what. And so they can't put houses on there. They can't put anything else. It's got to be some sort of an aquatic park. We saw their nighttime show. Their nighttime show was great, but you can see that they are clearly in trouble. Like, it's palpable. And I don't know if I was, if it wasn't me who's really kind of entrenched and all of us are very savvy about the theme park industry here, if I would have noticed that. But you can definitely see in like their clientele that was there. It was a lot of international guests and just the sheer amount of things that you would never see at a Disney park. Even with the state of Disney parks, you know, not being 100% all the time, you would never see a lot of the stuff there.
I had no desire to go to SeaWorld until you just said all of that.
Yeah.
Now for some sick reason, I really want to go.
That's kind of grotesque, first of all.
It's like a permanent OC fare is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, maybe not that bad, but I mean, like everything is an upcharge. Everything is like like if you want a hot dog, you go to the warmer, like at 7-Eleven and pull out the hot dog and like pull it out yourself and like you take it over to the guy at the register, you know? So their sky cabin is you extra $5. The Skyway that goes across the bay, it's an extra $5. If you have an annual pass, those things are free. It's kind of like how they're getting people to buy annual passes. But it's very disjointed. It's very like having somebody that's studied theme park history before, it's very disorienting. There's no flow. It's random stuff just thrown everywhere in the hopes that they can get people to go to SeaWorld.
Interesting.
They do a lot of good work too. They get a bad rap sometimes. They did like over 130,000 sea animal rescues last year. So
whatever.
It is what it is. All right. Karen, let's talk about Club 33.
Yes. We have a guest removed from Disneyland's Club 33 who won't be returning. A man who was such a Disney fan that he wrote a book about Walt Disney has quietly settled his lawsuit against the company after he was ousted from Disneyland's exclusive Club 33, accused of breaking its rules. According to court documents and interviews, Joseph Cosgrove of Lake Forest considered himself a self-proclaimed ambassador to the park's legendary private VIP club, which lies behind a locked secret door in New Orleans Square next to the Pirates of the Caribbean and the Blue Bayou restaurant. The club has very strict rules for its members, who reportedly pay a $25,000 initiation fee plus $10,000 annually, or more depending on what type of membership, for the privilege of entering a door tucked behind away in a side street, coming upstairs and having drinks or fine dining in uncrowded luxury. The club, which opened in 1967, has a long wait list for membership, even at its highest prices. Its fame among insiders is such that some visitors even collect the monogrammed hand towels from the laboratories as souvenirs of their visits.
Of which I have several.
I have never known that.
I only took the napkins. Some. I got a lot of napkins.
I didn't take anything.
I have napkins.
I'm not a classy thief.
I also didn't buy anything. But it has strict rules that members must follow, including what may be posted on social media about it and how people can invite as guests. Joseph Cosgrove, now 87, was such a fan that he wrote a book in appreciation of Walt Disney. He said he was among the first members of Club 33 after its opening. However, as of January 1st, 2015, Cosgrove's membership was terminated by the club, according to court documents. He filed suit in April 2016. Court records filed June 27th for dismissal of the case show it as settled May 10th. No one was awarded legal fees. A jury trial had previously been set for July 30th in Orange County Superior Court. The lawsuit alleged that Cosgrove's membership was terminated because he gave someone tickets for Club 33 that were subsequently sold at a charity auction, which is against the club's rules. After the suit was filed, Disneyland issued a statement saying the couple's membership was terminated due to multiple violations of Club 33 rules. Disneyland spokesperson Liz Yeager confirmed Thursday by email that the case is resolved but would not elaborate. In 2015, Disneyland spokesperson Susie Brown responded to the lawsuit in an email statement saying that the Cosgroves repeatedly transferred and sold their membership privileges, which was a clear violation of membership, We, unfortunately, were left with no other choice in order to preserve the integrity of the membership.
So basically, this wasn't against the rules until it was. And this guy had been kind of, Disney knew this guy. They knew who he was. He wrote a book. Hey, that sounds familiar, David.
Right?
And he had kind of appointed himself, like a lot of Disney fans do. He'd kind of, you know, taken personal interest in, you know, like a personal stake in this, Club 33. And he'd kind of appointed himself this ambassador. And there was a lot of people up there who just didn't like him. And so I think at some point Disney was looking to get rid of him and he gave away his tickets. So like if you're a cast member and you get free tickets or free sign-ins, you can't use those as a way of, you know, giving them to charity. You can't do any of that stuff. So Cosgrove's
can't sell them.
You can't sell them. His whole main, he maintained the whole time that he couldn't, that it wasn't against the rules, but then Disney said, well, we get to change the rules. Basically is what happens. And so, he got kicked out of the club. He sued and now apparently it's been settled, but I mean, we're talking about like a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 membership here.
I just find it odd that a rich old man would cause trouble.
So
that's just so, what's
the
word?
Here's my thing though, right? So from what I have also heard, it wasn't just that, you know, that particular case, that was kind of the final straw that broke the camel's back. But in reality, it was like he had that loophole. And so he was just letting anybody in, people he knew, people right. he didn't know. And at some point, you know, like you're upstairs, you're members, you're dining there, you know, and I've been up there before and I've, you know, had friends who have very generously invited me up in there, to have dinner so I can see it, you know, and enjoy meals, you know, kind of away from other people and, you know, nicer food. But I mean, you're going to get a lot of rowdy groups. Then it kind of takes away from it, especially if you're doing it like every day.
The very first time I ever went up into Club 33, my friend Jen had apparently made friends with someone who was Richard Nixon's cousin or something like that. And so he gave her tickets to Club 33. And so we all went up to Club 33. So, but at that time, you didn't have to have the member with you. This guy is the reason that they changed all of those rules. Now, the member, you don't get park tickets. The member has to be with you. They want to make it as difficult as possible for members to bring non-members up there. I went when I got engaged a year ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Sorry. A friend of ours she doesn't listen. It's fine. She didn't, the person that took us up there had a friend of a friend that took us up there and that was our engagement present was like, you know, Club 33. So I can totally see that if he's letting anybody that walks up to him, hey, you're a Club 33 member. And, you know, all of a sudden Ma and Pa from, you know, God knows where is going up there and causing a disturbance. And yeah, the people that are paying a lot of money for this membership are not going to be super happy about it.
Wait, when you're a member, you're paying so much for this membership.
And then you have to pay for dinner.
No.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You need to pay for the food. Yep. You need to pay for the drink. You need to pay for any merchandise you might want to buy. It is just the opportunity to go upstairs and the opportunity to, when they sometimes do special events, to sign up for these events, which you have to pay for.
It's a cult, you know, favorite amongst Disney fans. Like there's the percentage of people that have gotten to go in there is very, very small compared to the people that have, you know, that are Disney fans and that have gotten to go to, you know, the park in general. So it's sort of this white whale for a lot of Disney fans to get to go to Club 33. I think, David and Karen and I are very fortunate. I think we've been up there at least once or twice. Yeah, I've been up there twice. Karen's probably been up there, I don't know, a dozen times or so, because that's just how Karen rolls. But anyway,
can you get me in?
There we go. All right. So we'll go to Club 33 one day. Okay. So our last story, because we got to wrap up here, is going to be John. John, let's go camp out at Knott's Berry Farm.
All right. Let's do it.
Welcome one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine.
Knott's Berry Farm announces Coaster Campout. The annual event benefits the Boys and Girls Club of America, where for $250, a group of four people get to camp overnight at the Park Pavilion Picnic Center on Knott's grounds, along with 2 days admission to both Knott's and Soak City. Sounds like a good deal. Registration begins at Knott's Berry Farm, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., August 25th. Guests may then enjoy the day at Knott's or Soak City Water Park. The campsite setup is 7 to 8:30 p.m. Guests will be assigned a camping spot in the Park Pavilion Picnic Center, where they may put up their tents and sleeping equipment. Soak City will open until 6 p.m. and Knott's will remain open until 10 p.m. There will be entertainment at the camping area from 10:15 until quiet time at 11 p.m. Quiet time. Very cute.
Like Adult Swim.
Quiet time on Beach Boulevard. Yeah, right. Park.
On August 26th, campers will receive a 7:30 a.m. wake-up call from Snoopy, followed by a continental breakfast. Guests will then pack up their camping equipment and clear their sites by 9 a.m. Those wishing to enjoy Knott's Berry Farm will be let in early at 9:30 a.m. to Camp Snoopy and Fiesta Village areas. For those who want to play at Soak City, it will open at 10 a.m. Tickets are $250 per campsite, include admission for four to Knott's Berry Farm and Soak City both days, plus the breakfast on August 26th. So does that sound like a good deal? That sounds like
a good deal. I was very excited about this, and it sounded like a good deal until I read, like, so Knott's makes it sound like you get to camp out in the park and like you're going to pitch your tents in Ghost Town. And then I read you're going to camp out at the picnic pavilion across the street.
See, I was opposite of you. I thought, ooh, that sounds really cool. And then I was, oh, $250 okay, for only four people. I'm out. That's
yeah.
Too expensive.
So for 250, actually for 250.
And breakfast and Snoopy wakes you up.
Well, it's
Snoopy
a continental breakfast.
Like, okay. So $250 for four people. Like, that's actually not bad to me. If I was getting to camp out in Ghost Town, like, what do you guys think? You guys are,
well, you're literally and, like camping out, just like how far away? I mean, it's doesn't matter that it's not in Ghost Town. It's like the ticket price and
just,
the free continental breakfast.
It just
breakfast.
Seems silly that it wouldn't be in Camp Snoopy.
Well, they can't let people sleep in there, can they?
Oh, that's they missed a huge marketing opportunity. To. You're 100% right.
Yeah, I right.
But it's
camping
like
Camp
pavement.
Snoopy. How did they miss that?
Camp. You know, so all of this is for charity, right? This is all, and that's part of the $250 that it goes to the Boys and Girls Club. So, you know, that's why I didn't have a huge problem with the price. But to me, like, why are you going to sell this as getting to camp out in the park? And then, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the picnic.
It's very far away.
It's not even like the cool, like, Old West themed one or they have a jungle one. Which we'll get into the history of that a little bit.
I had no idea.
On a different show, but, so they have three picnic areas. One is Old West themed. One is like jungle tiki themed, where I almost had my wedding. But the other one is it's literally like metal aluminum poles and shade covering. And I think that's where they're going to have you camp out.
Where they have
very
like
far away.
Yeah, that's where they have all the like company picnics.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, all three of those are where they have company picnics, but that one is the least expensive one. And they're like, okay, if you're going to camp out in one of them, why not make it like, at least one of the cool themed one. That's where I was like, I'm out. I'm
okay.
Or even Camp Snoopy or Ghost Town or like, you know, have entertainment and have the, anyways.
Yeah, I felt like if it was going to be at the farthest away campground. Yes, Karen is very fixated on that, but then at least
I want other stuff.
You know what I mean? Like,
a good point.
Like there should be like a character meet and greet maybe at some point.
I didn't see many chickens the last time I went out there.
Oh, they have to kind of purge them every once in a while.
That goes back to our other story.
It goes back to the restaurant.
There you go. That chicken is delicious.
Sorry, Karen.
I got a great video of being chased by a rooster.
Nice. So my thing was, I'm not getting anything else, you know, like I really want to
get a continental
breakfast. I really want to give them that
$250
donation.
I mean, and what is that continental breakfast
consist of? Yeah.
But that continental, it's a continental breakfast. Don't be fooled by a continental breakfast, people. It's just some pastries and some juice.
That's what I was going to say. I've been to hotels that say continental breakfast and it is donuts and orange juice and coffee. But then you go to some hotels and it's waffles and eggs,
which is not a true continental breakfast. So, you know, it's nice when you get that, but don't expect that. But my thing was, I get a wake up call from Camp Snoop or from Snoopy, right? But there's no meet and greet opportunity.
Yeah, there's no photo opportunity. Yeah. Well, they're going to have entertainment throughout the evening.
Like campfire, you know, like sing along or something, just something to make it
They didn't say what the entertainment was going to be. They just said there's going to be entertainment all the way up until
If there was going to be good entertainment, they would have mentioned it.
Yeah. True, David.
That's a good point.
I know you can do the sleepovers at the San Diego Safari Park.
Yeah. They have
and
tents.
They have entertainment and whatnot. And yeah.
That, they have like safari tents.
Karen, if you're listening to this, that's what we were talking about last night.
So, all right. Anything else, guys? What do you think? Is this something, again, like if this was a camp out in the park, I would have totally been on board with this because I love charity and I love like camping out. And
it's still an experience. So.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you're paying to be homeless. I mean, it's on Beach Boulevard.
Yeah, you're like right next to the parking lot. I don't know.
Man, you guys are tough. You guys are a tough crowd.
Not for me.
Right?
Tough crowd.
They are a very tough crowd.
Okay.
Which means when they're happy, they're really happy.
We're really happy. See, there you go.
You better listen when they're happy.
All right. So moving on, you know, so here we are, guys. It's the middle of summer and it's fair season all across the country.
I do not understand fairs.
If you're one of our international listeners, and I found out today, we actually have, three listeners in South America and we have one listener in Spain. So if you are if you're an international listener, then, and you know, I'm sure across America, everybody has it, summertime, county fair time. You know, where there are just these things and they set up rides and they set up food booths and everybody loves it except for David and Karen.
Well, I'll tell you the thing, but I like, let me tell you what I like and don't like about
it. Sure. Yeah.
And then later I can tell you the Disney history element to it.
Absolutely.
Okay. What I love about the fair, I like all the crafts and I like the shows you can go see. I like that it's like local artists that do stuff. My brother was in the OC Woodworkers and he would be there doing, displays for people. And we have some friends from former Jungle Cruise skippers that have art that's on display, photography and whatnot. So that's cool to see local people do stuff.
I found out one of the people that I work with, she's a newer person. She does, she enters dresses, like vintage. She does like vintage pattern dresses. And to the, one of the guys I used to work with over at the university in the theater department, he does quilting.
All right.
He just gets big old quilts.
Well, I'd like to get the wisdom of the room maybe because my girls want me to do this and it fills me with shame. They have a thing where now you can show your collections. Like if you collect something that you can like, they'll put it in display. And
I've always wanted to do that.
What do you collect?
Don't say that. I may or may not have over 100 Iron Man action figures.
Oh, dude, yes.
Oh, that is county fair material.
I'm sorry, I'm judging you. I'm totally judging you here.
I'm judging you in a good way, though.
Iron Man's my boy. And so my girls are like, Dad, you gotta do it. I'm like, I don't know if I can admit to that. Shouldn't I have like, I have a lot of books on the battle. Like someone just displayed all the books he had on one topic.
But can you win anything for it?
They give out prizes.
Okay.
Yeah. You get like ribbons and stuff.
And so, okay. And I made displays for him and I made like one that looks like the comic book cover. Then he's like, I'm a nerd.
Okay. So here's,
but I'm married, so I can admit that.
We've mentioned it before, but if you're a new listener, here's the deal. David is an actual university professor. He has got a PhD in history from the George Washington University.
That's right.
And I have seen this man's office and it looks like it was decorated by a 12-year-old boy.
That's right. cool 12-year-old boy.
And actually, I have drawn a lot of inspiration from your office in setting up my office because nice. I have got a shelf dedicated solely to the toys and stuff that my wife gets me. And you know,
right.
Yeah,
that's what makes life awesome, man. You like the stuff you like. Okay. So I like that element of the fair stuff. I like that it's cool and it's local people and there's people growing plants and you can go see that. What I hate about the fair is all the rides and the noise and those rides that there is. If you worked for Disneyland, I don't know if you could go on those rides and not just be terrified.
Yeah. I don't go on the rides. I don't like my kids going on the rides.
Disneyland is so, it made me paranoid. I mean, the Jungle Cruise is a very basic ride, right? You would have to try to get hurt at the Jungle Cruise. And yet every morning, you fill out the paperwork to start the ride. Two different people, like an engineer and a different engineer than a manager, had to sign the paperwork saying this ride is safe before you could turn on anything. And if the paperwork wasn't there, you didn't do it. And I remember going to the fair with my girls thinking, I don't think there's engineers signing paperwork.
You guys, Brandis and John, went to the Orange County Fair, and Karen's actually going to the fair later.
Right? I am. So please tell me what I need to eat.
Okay, so
we're do not eat the unicorn leg. It's really a pork leg. And
did you think it was actual unicorn?
No.
Is it like dipped in?
It's just smoked. It's this massive thing. It's smoked. You could get barbecue sauce with it. They were nice enough to give us some onions and peppers with it, but it costs $30.
Oh my, no, I'm out.
It did not taste $30 worth.
I'm out.
I'm pretty sure unicorns are actually kosher, so I don't know why they used pork. That's, You can edit that out.
No, it's fine. No, we are keeping that. So the OC fair is in.
It's huge.
The OC fair is in town from July 13th through August 12th. And the theme of the fair this year is, I think it's Find Your Inner Farmer.
I thought it was Bring Meth to the Parking Lot. That was.
So you guys actually had a really interesting experience at the fair.
Yes.
Thank you guys. So Brandis and John were, if you follow us on Facebook, they were updating us yesterday, and we'll talk about your other daytime trip a little bit later. But yeah, you guys actually had a really interesting experience.
Yes. I'm going to start and then let John finish. So we both got picked to be hypnotized at the hypnotist show. We went up there and I really tried. I really wanted to do it. So I do yoga, and I could do at the end the meditation. I could slow my heart rate down and everything. So I thought I'd be a good candidate. And they come by at the end after the hypnotizing to see how everyone's doing. And they ask me, and I look up and realize just how dizzy I am. Like, it was weird head, like, I don't know, like almost like drugs or something. And I just say, I'm dizzy. And they're like, you're resistant to this. Go sit down.
Oh.
And so then I'm expecting my husband to go sit down with me, but he got a number and got to stay.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah.
So John, what was your experience?
I'm going to start by saying I was three drinks in. Okay.
So I'm sure that helped.
So
that's how good stories start.
Yeah. So I was a little bit susceptible to their encouragement. I don't know. It's weird because it's like you don't really fall asleep or anything. I don't know if I want to give away the magic of the whole.
Well, I think you look pretty asleep to me.
For my own purposes, what I'm wondering is, were you just completely out of it and didn't know anything that was going on? Or were you still kind of like, were you conscious that this was happening and you maybe didn't want it to, but you were doing it anyways?
Well, it's kind of like you're on stage and there's a bunch of people watching. So it's like, you can't just be like, nah, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, brah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It kind of would be, but I couldn't.
You know, in movies and MTV and stuff like that, it always is like, oh, that person is completely out. And then they wake up and they go, oh, what did I do? It didn't work.
Without ruining the magic, what can you tell us about?
You know, if you're a good sport, it's definitely worth doing. It's a lot of fun. And, like, I got high fives from like a ton of people through the rest of the fair.
Yeah, like, we're walking through the fair and people would be like, oh, it's you. And they'd be like to their friends, come here, it's him, it's him. It's like he was like a mini celebrity.
I kind of forgot some of the things I did. And then this morning they started coming back to me. So,
oh, that's crazy.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Like legit, you forgot.
I've had those nights.
Yeah.
Did you record him?
How much?
They won't let you record, but I did get some pictures. It's recorded in my head and it's hilarious.
Now, how much of that not remembering, John, was because of the drinks?
I wasn't wasted or anything, but I think it was just like my own personal embarrassment just pushed it down. So like, I won't, you know.
So David, you have feelings about the fair.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, you live close to the fair as well, don't you both?
Yes.
Yeah.
I live very close. My cell service dies. It used to die. They bring in trucks now, so it's not as bad. But we lived really close to the fair. And we used to get free tickets every year from the fair. It was like, sorry for the noise and the hassle. Here's free tickets. And then we moved even closer, I think. And the tickets we get nothing. And
have you tried? Because I read that you have to go and ask now.
Oh, really? All right. Well, I'm going to go demand that. I usually just go on the days where it's like free before noon and we walk over. Or the day if there's like school supplies and whatnot.
Is it like Build-A-Bear? I'm always afraid of doing that because I almost did that on Friday because I'm really close to the fair as well. And
the opening day one, it is.
Yeah. When it's like free before 12
o'clock. The lines are
like
wrapping around the fairgrounds, but you get in pretty quickly.
Yeah. You get in. What we did 2 years ago, walked in, got our hand stamped. It was so crazy. We just went home and then came back that night.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But I hate the fair.
What do you hate about it inside? I know the outside of like the world of the fair happening, it affects me too because I drive home by it.
Right? You can't use your regular off ramps. You can't go to your local stores. You have to avoid everything. But you know, it could be a good money making opportunity for you. What I do is I hang out in my neighborhood when people park there for the fair, and then I kind of make note of who's going into the fair and then free stereos. I don't want to go much more into that, but. Also, your listeners can contact me later for free stereo if they'd like a stereo at a reasonable price.
In my head, I thought you were chilling outside and being like, hey, do you need parking?
I thought about doing that.
That's where I was going with this.
Nope. You make a lot more money from stereos, and then there's no evidence. So
I thought about waking up in the morning and moving my car from my assigned parking spot and then charging people to rent my parking spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that's kind of a little shady because you're like, yeah, come down this alleyway. Come park in my spot. But
yeah. I would advertise it and meet him out there.
You should have a little sign out there. You'd just be like.
John, you wanted to say something.
Oh, just that those rides are awesome. That's part of the fun.
Yeah, I used to. I used to really enjoy those rides.
John really likes to live on the edge.
There's drug addicts in every.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, so. Some are more functional than others.
I've been on Space Mountain where I thought, oh my god, that was so fun. I thought I was going to die. And then I've been on rides at the OC Fair where I thought, oh my god, I thought I was going to die. So, and it's totally different.
We are going to do two things here. I'm going to give some of the seven outrageous foods to try at the 2018 Orange County Fair. This is according to the Orange County Register. Then I want to get into David's history of. Disneyland connection to the Orange County Fair. Yeah. So, okay. So you guys tell me if you can try any of these. Seven outrageous foods to try at the 2018 Orange County Fair. Speaking of meth heads, they have the caramel crack fries.
Couldn't find them. We do want to try them.
They are in the carnival area at Biggie's near the Corn Shack. So the salted fries are drenched in melted butter, tossed with cinnamon sugar and drizzled with caramel sauce. The addition of whipped cream balances the dish, adding a frothy creaminess to counteract the nutty, buttery caramel, also served on the side for dipping. There is the Unicorn Freeze, a sweet tart frozen drink garnished with three rings of whipped cream and fruity pebbles, unicorn bacon, which is a rainbow sour candy strip, a Rice Krispie treat on a stick, and sprinkles with a marshmallow stick and more sprinkles. And this is located at the livestock area in the county fair cinnamon, that D&D country fair cinnamon rolls between tasty chips and smoothies.
I'm not even sure the livestock would eat that.
Yeah. Some of this stuff is really.
It's very unicorn based this year.
It's the in thing right now.
Yeah, it
actually,
is.
Actually, it's so in, it's no longer in.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Two Face has their whole unicorn line now.
Oh, goodness.
That's how you know it's no longer in.
This one's for Brandy. It's the chili chamois apple, if you like fruit. And the tamarind candy paste coats a fresh apple. And then it's dusted with tajin powder, lime chili salty seasoning. And you can find this at the Pacific Plaza at Candyland near the Heritage Stage.
Nice. Hipsters are ruining Mexican candy.
They are. This was in 7-Eleven the other day. A couple of hipsters came in. They're like, where's the tea?
How can you ruin something that's already awful?
I don't disagree with you.
I will say this. Mexico makes the greatest food on the planet, and I will fight anybody that tries to.
As a Chinese person, I disagree, and we can fight about this afterwards.
Oh, I'll take you down. And the greatest food on the planet mixed with the worst desserts possible. Just
like
absolutely.
What are you going to eat?
It's like, here's a dry stone. Here. Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Dessert bread. Thank you, Mexico.
All right. Moving on.
For those of you who can't see, though, I feel like I want to point out Brandis's face is just utter shock. Like, she's just frozen.
I'm loving every second of it.
Incredulous is the word we're looking for.
I love my Mexican candies and desserts.
It's awful. I love Mexican sweet bread.
They're made with lead.
And I enjoy flan.
That's why I actually like getting the candy straight from Mexico because they make it proper there.
The lead seasoning.
The lead base. I won't eat it when I'm pregnant from Mexico, though.
All right. So they have the Unicorn Donut, which is a strawberry glitter glaze and rainbow nerds candies in the center.
That made my teeth hurt.
Along with a pink beehive hairdo of pink cotton candy. This is at the main mall at Texas Donuts near Visual Arts. All right, this one actually sounds interesting. There's the fried lasagna nachos. Oh. Lasagna noodles are cut and then fried until they puff are with mozzarella, ricotta, marinara, pesto, and your choice of meats and veggies. So it's just basically like it's literally fried lasagna. This is at Centennial Farm near Meadows Stage.
Anything the fair fries is good.
You know, our problem is we didn't walk far enough. We just jumped into the first thing we saw that like, look good. These are all amazing.
And then
did you not hear all the
unicorn
stuff?
The previous ones?
Yeah, that one.
I mean,
one's
not,
like,
not all of these are amazing. Right.
That's like somebody let their 6-year-old design the menu that year.
Yes.
And then I have a connection to Disney as well because I've got a problem with something that they're doing. I know we're all shocked. There's the fried filet mignon. It's at Chicken Charlie's, and he's the one that started the fried Kool-Aid train. And
the fried butter was so good.
Fried Twinkies. So big hunks of beef are seasoned, battered, and fried until the coating is crispy and served on a stick, because who doesn't love food on a stick, with a side of fries and ranch dressing. Then this is at the main mall and family fairway at Chicken Charlie's.
Wait, why would they serve filet mignon with ranch instead of blue cheese?
because that's how Chicken Charlie does it.
Right. Ranch or get out.
You know what? You just haven't had it yet. Maybe you will have it and you will be like, oh my God, my mind is blown. The ranch is tying this whole thing together. That blue cheese would have just been too rich. The ranch is taking it down a notch.
All right. And finally, the sugar high, which is sourdough toast.
Everything else wasn't sugar high?
Well, no, this is the name of it. This is official. This is the official sugar high. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So it's sourdough toast lathered with peanut butter and topped with marshmallow, honey, M&Ms, and chocolate chips. It's at Centennial Farm at 10 Pound Buns near Millennium Barn. The theme of this year's Orange County Fair is Free Your Inner Farmer. It runs from July 13th through August 12th at the OC Fair and Event Center, 88 Fair Drive, Costa Mesa, California. Noon to midnight, Wednesdays to Fridays, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturdays and Sundays. Admission Wednesday through Friday is $12 general, $7 for senior and youth age 6 to 12 are free. For children 5 and younger, Saturday through Sunday, it's $14, $7 and youth. $7 for seniors and youth, and it's free for children 5 and younger. Parking is $10 for cars, $20 for buses and limos, and for general info and tips on off-site parking and shuttle, visit ocfair.com. So that is this year's Orange County Fair. David, what do you got?
About what?
Oh, you said you had a connection, a Disneyland / fair connection.
Yeah, Disneyland history stuff. For those of your listeners who are all into Disneyland history and whatnot, I used to teach a class on the history of Disneyland, and the hardest thing to get my students to understand was why people would not help Walt Disney build Disneyland. So many networks and so many companies refused to give Walt Disney a dime for Disneyland, and students are like, but it's amazing and it's perfect, and why could you not? And so I always tell them, so if you're going to the fair, this is how I try to enjoy the Orange County Fair when I go. So maybe this will help you. I tell my students, ignore everything you know about Disneyland. Pretend Disneyland doesn't exist, and realize that when Walt was pitching Disneyland, all people could picture was the Orange County Fair and things like it. That was what every place was. And look at the fair as a way of kind of showing everything that Disneyland isn't. That it's on a blacktop, so it's hot. There aren't plants or gardens, really, unless you're in the farm section. But I made my notes. But it's everything, right, that Walt Disney... Everything that he did not want Disneyland to be. So like the loud barkers that were yelling for come play games, like on Toy Story, Midway Mania. They don't have those anymore. But like they didn't want carnival barkers. They didn't want people in front of the rides yelling for you to come in and spend your money. And he hated the fact that it was all blacktop that was hot. And he hated all the bad smells. And you go to the fair, you smell all the food, but like how the floor gets sticky from beer that's been spilled and soda. That's why he refused to have alcohol or let gum or sell hot dogs. That's why hot dogs aren't for sale at Disneyland, because he hated the hot dog water and it just smelled bad as it sat there. So all of those things, and that's all people could picture when Walt Disney pitched the park.
Well, this is an apocryphal story, which is funny that you mentioned the hot dogs, because there's this kind of apocryphal story that the placement of trash cans, I don't know if you've ever heard this. So the placement of trash cans at Disneyland was relative to the amount of time it took Walt to eat a hot dog. You ever heard that story?
I don't know if it was just Walt, but I knew they went to Knott's Berry Farm, they went to fairs, they went to Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen, Denmark, they went everywhere, and they would watch how long people held something in their hand before they dropped it. And that's why, and I do this at other places. I did it like at Fashion Island the other day with my kids. I was walking and I was ready to throw it away and there was no trash can. I'm like, oh, every 17 feet, gotta have a trash can every 17 feet, because I'm ready to drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
my big complaint is actually talking about the carnival barkers and things like that. So two things that I, over the weekend that came to my attention, and actually three things. So right now, as it stands in Orlando at the Disney parks, all of the Disney parks except for the Magic Kingdom served alcohol. Recently, they've announced that the Magic Kingdom will now begin serving beer and wine, which is exactly the opposite of what Walt Disney wanted in his parks. There's a theory, there's a rumor that's going around that they're going to start allowing it in Disneyland. I think the clientele that goes to Disneyland is way different than the clientele that goes to Walt Disney World. It's a lot more locals. It's a lot more people that grew up with it. It's part of the culture here. I personally think if they try to start selling alcohol in Disneyland, there will be blood in the streets at TDA. Like, I don't think that the fans here are going, they may not care. I think there's going to be a huge pushback on selling alcohol inside Disneyland. The second thing that they're doing is they're over at the Magic Kingdom, they are doing like fried Twinkies. And I'm like, it's just, it's the fair. I think they're taking their cues from, they're starting to take their cues from the wrong things. Where Disneyland and all of the Disney entertainment yes. parks have been built on this anti-fair. It's not your local county fair. I think they're starting to see, like, well, it does well at the fair. Why can't we do it here at Disneyland? What do you think about that? The third thing is that we rode the fire truck yesterday at Disneyland. So after we got our tiki mugs, we went and rode the fire trucks at Main. And the guy who was an older guy, and I don't know how long he had been there, but he was like telling people walking by, like, come and ride the fire truck. Come and he was like, you know, like hawking the fire truck. And like, it just didn't feel right. Maybe I'm old school and maybe I just, you know, how do you feel about that? Or what do you think about that? Are they taking their cues from the wrong things now?
Sometimes, and I like that they keep it focused to California Adventure. And I know from some other people that work at the park that that's the problem of Disneyland is you can't change anything without people freaking out. And if Walt Disney had lived another 10 years, Disneyland would have been radically different because he would have been throwing stuff out left and right. So I didn't realize how much Disneyland is a time capsule till I went to on my first trip to Walt Disney World last year and saw, oh, they're updating stuff at Disney World all the time because Walt wasn't there. So who cares? It's like, oh no, it's a Walt original. We have to leave it exactly the way it was. And, yeah, I think they do. I didn't know about the Twinkies. That's at DCA?
No, that's a Magic Kingdom in Disney World. Yeah.
Oh, in Disney World.
Yeah.
Well, that's Florida. Florida's basically a fairground anyway. That's, yeah. I mean, that's to all of our Florida listeners, we love you, but
right.
Come on, outside of Orlando.
They understand.
They understand. Yeah.
So, okay, that's great. Well, thank you, David, for that insight on, some of that connection. It is time for corrections and retractions. So we have one correction for today, and this is going to settle a debate we've had on two shows now. The name, so last week we did our bathroom episode, and we could not remember the name of the coaster in Camp Snoopy, the one that's right there by the back wall by our secret hidden bathroom. The name of that coaster is the Timberline Twister.
There we go.
So there you go. The Camp Snoopy. So now you know where to find our hidden bathroom and Camp Snoopy. It is by the Timberline Twister. This has been Corrections and Retractions. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram at VLPodcast, Twitter at VacationlandShow, and our email, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you are listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I want to finish out the show with one thing, and Brandon did not know I was going to do this. I want to thank her for all of the information and all the good stuff she put out over the weekend. And in John's continuing absence, I would like to name Brandy as our associate producer on the show.
Oh, great. Yay. Does that come with a raise?
It does not. It comes with no raise.
But thank you.
And extra responsibility.
Yay. Does it come with a donut at least?
I will bring a continental breakfast the next time we do the show.
That's
so
awesome.
From now on, it will be associate producer Brandis Strotman. And well, thank you for all of the hard work that you put in over the weekend. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this show. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the executive producer and the host of the show. I'd like to thank all of our guests for coming in today. I've never done the show with five people today, and that was really interesting. So thank you, Karen. Thank you, David, for always providing us good history information. Thank you, John, and thank you, associate producer Randy.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacation Land.